I knew day in and day out I was the best wrestler alive today.
Woo!
I've got the style and profile like never before.
The Ric Flair Show.
Woo! Woo! The World Heavyweight Champion, Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Woo! The 16-time world champion back behind the mic and telling it like it is.
If you're not carrying the big gold, you're second best no matter what you tell yourself.
And now, Ric Flair and Conrad Thompson.
Hey, this is the Nature Boy Ric Flair, 16 times your world champion. I'm sorry I'm a little late this week, just got back from England. But we are working this out right now. I'm with my legendary friend, Conrad Thompson, entrepreneur from hell, owner of the Conradison, the second wealthiest man in the state of Alabama, and my best friend. Hello, Conrad. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, man? How are you?
I just got back from England, man. Sorry I'm a day late and a dollar short.
Well, you know what? I think we're going to have a good time anyway. Let's go ahead and get into it. It's time to bring back one of my favorite segments, hashtag Ask Nate. We've actually taken to Twitter. And you, the listener, are in the driver's seat. All you had to do to participate was go ahead and throw us a question using hashtag AskNate. Scott Harrier on Twitter wants to know, would love to know what was involved and what it was like filming the vignettes, the dusty parking lot, dream date, Teddy Long limo. The attack that the horseman did on Dusty Roads that was filmed in a parking lot, can you kind of carry us through whose idea that was, where you did it, any memories you have about shooting that?
We shot it in the parking lot of Jim Crocker Promotions, and the idea was Dusty's, and he, as we've talked about, was a genius with stuff like that, way ahead of his time, and it got a lot of heat, a lot of momentum, and we rode on that angle and made a lot of money for over a year. It was phenomenal.
At the end of that segment, when you guys are attacking Dusty, I found it interesting, and this was kind of debated at the time, and I didn't realize this until recent years, that Dusty says, make it good. And a lot of people kind of outsmarting themselves wondered, hey, was that supposed to be edited in there since Dusty was the booker? But, of course, I think the gist was, hey, if you're going to beat me up, if you're going to attack me, you better make it good so I can't just come back.
Exactly.
Did you have any sort of conversation with anybody about that at the time, or was that something that was just not even on your radar?
It wasn't even on radar. As a matter of fact, until you just brought this up, I'd never heard that.
Okay.
But he was a player. If we were going to do something, and, you know, slamming a guy's door, or like a guy's head in a door in a cage, or a guy's leg in a door. I mean, and Arn, you know, was a very physical, tough guy. So, you know, Arn, don't tell Arn to go after it, man, and get the heat. He did, and it worked out great.
Yeah, it's something that people are still going to talk about for a long time. Very mm-hmm. innovative at the time. Dallas Jacobson on Twitter tweets, not sure if anyone ever asked Ric before, but does the Nature Boy believe in life on other planets and UFOs? That seems like a fun question to ask.
Well, most certainly. I've been told I'm from Pluto for years. I can't certainly be from Earth. Nobody. There's nobody like me on Earth.
I feel like, please, I'm not on Earth this morning. My check liver light is on.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm going to need to go get a shot of B12 today.
Yeah. And you have two more days of it. And how are you going to feel tomorrow? Just on a side note, when Ole Miss kicks Alabama's ass again.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You realize that, you know, in your latest attempt to jump bandwagons, so now that you're on the Harbaugh train in Michigan, that they have video of him last weekend picking his nose and eating a booger.
That's not true. They're going to have video tomorrow of Saban with tears in his eyes. It'll admit to beat them for the second year in a row.
It would be.
And by the way, they beat you in Tuscaloosa last year. Now you're on the road to Ole Miss.
Well,
are you going to stay home, or are you going to put yourself through the hurt?
I'm not going to put myself through the hurt. And actually, this will be the third time that they beat us if they actually win.
I know.
I just don't see it happening.
I'm keeping track of it. You don't see it happen. Okay, well, of course not, because you're
a homer.
Saving blind.
Yeah, well, how could you not be? Look at all those titles. I mean, he's got 16 world titles down there at Alabama. That seems
he doesn't have 16.
Well, he's on his way though. He's on his way.
Okay.
Hey, let's.
We have to have our fun. We've waited all summer long. Thank God football's back. So
we have something to do. And by the way,
you're going
to
be in the sidelines with me, October 3rd. Falcons, Panthers, man.
That'll be fun.
It'll be great.
Which territory? Matt Wright on Twitter wants to know which territory other than JCP could have had a shot against WWE if they changed with the times.
Which territory? There was no territory as big as Crockett. The second biggest up territory besides Crockett would have been Florida Championship Wrestling, and we were all involved. Georgia Championship Wrestling, because it started going to Ohio, was big, but Texas was just, you know, local. Portland was too small. Calgary certainly wouldn't have worked. I'm trying to think. I mean, New Japan or All Japan was great, but I mean, to go against the WWE, it would have taken a combined effort. And the fact that they didn't get together until too late. Actually, we were competing at Jim Crockett Promotions with WWE until we tried to promote west of the Mississippi, which we talked about many times.
Let's go to Matt Wright. He has another question. Who was a stiffer worker, Road Warrior Animal, Kevin Von Erich, or JBL?
Oh, my God, Kevin Von Erich.
Really?
JB on Animal couldn't get Kevin started. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? And Kevin was as big as they were, but holy cow. Kevin, a nicest guy in the world, but he's a little unorthodox. And those barefoot kicks, man, they were in there. Good Lord. He used to love to run across the ring and kick you. I don't know what he thought he was doing, but I would just close my eyes and pray every time I saw him coming.
Okay. Hashtag Ask Nate from the Mass Superstar. Great drinking stories, but do you have any about Dusty Rhodes, Tommy Wildfire Rich, or Ole Anderson? You know, I don't think we've ever told a partying story with Tommy Rich on the show before. Do you have any?
I never partied with Tommy. When I was wrestling Tommy, everything was very, very kayfabe. Okay. So I was never out with Tommy. Oh, yeah. I did have him out one night, and I missed a plane. I forgot about that. I had Tommy Rich and Nick Patrick out one night in Columbus, Ohio, and I had to be in San Antonio the next day for a New Year's matinee show against Kerry, and they ended up getting me a Learjet. We did stay out. I've been out with Tommy a couple times, but not that much. I mean, but Tommy was a great guy, and Nick Patrick also was awesome, so... I pretty much had fun with everybody. I can't name too many people I didn't.
Do you have any fun Ole Anderson drinking stories?
No, Ole didn't drink that much. One beer. I can't say. Gene didn't drink much, you know. We worked together, and then I went my way, and they went their way.
Victor Loveless on Twitter says, "Hey, Nate, if you could see Charlotte face any lady from the past, who would it be?" So kind of a dream opponent for your daughter.
Either be Lita or Trish.
Yeah, I expected you to say one of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is always a fun question because occasionally you'll change the members up a little bit. Nick Cutrone on Twitter says, "Hey, champ, if you could create a 21st century Four Horsemen, what current stars would you include? They can be from any company." You've answered this before, but I'm curious if that looks different now.
I got asked that question over in Manchester yesterday by 2K people. I couldn't pick the guys that'd be the Four Horsemen. It was a different time. And the thing that made us, everybody could talk.
Right.
And everybody could work. I think what made us so successful was the mentality that we didn't have an ego about winning or losing. And that's pretty much lost in the business now. People worry about their position. We knew every day how good we were. We didn't think about it. there was no argument. We knew there were people that were jealous of our situation, but being jealous and being able to outperform us was two different things. So it would be hard to say. I mean, it'd be easy to say, in terms of people I like, the Shield, I'd love to go out with Ambrose. And I mean, Ambrose is, could be a horse from all day long. He loves to drink and have fun. It can work. Roman's the same way. Seth Rollins, I have never been out with socially, but I mean, Seth Rollins is a tremendous performer. I think Seth is, you know, right there with Randy Orton. And Hunter is the best performer in the company. Different style. This, and I'm not putting him ahead of AJ by any means, but Seth Rollins, I think you would agree, can really bring it.
Oh, absolutely.
And coming back from that knee injury, he looks like $1 million. He's almost as handsome as I was when I was younger, you know, so he would be the carrot for us. He'd be our Barry Windham.
I like it. What is your, I don't know how to say this guy's name. I'm going to try. Podinsky says, what is your greatest partying story in West Virginia? And what was it like traveling there as the champ in the 80s? Can you have fun in West Virginia? Is that allowed? The
greatest partying story of all time, Great American Bash on Tour. I wrestled Ricky Morton in the cage. We stole it. It was the Road Warriors away. And David Allen Coe was with us. And we brought the David Allen Coe show back to the Marriott Hotel. He played till 4 in the morning. And we had so damn many women. West Virginia's got some good-looking women. I'm not kidding you. Yeah, we had a lot of fun in Charles, West Virginia. Make no mistake, you can have fun in that town. But that Marriott Hotel, I was just there about 3 months ago. They still talk about those days. We used to have so damn much fun there. My God. Yeah, the Marriott in Charleston, we rock it out.
John Matthew on Twitter has a question I've never heard asked before. Hashtag Ask Nate, was Luthez a bully?
I never wrestled Luthez. I've heard this. He always was nice to me and treated me very respectful because he knew that I could. He knew that I was actually a wrestler. He didn't like working with gimmick guys, and he would abuse those guys.
I see.
Yeah, Bruce Bernard told me that Lou wouldn't give him anything because he, you know, Bruce was a gimmick, but you know, a real nice guy. I loved Bruce Bernard. But, you know, I just get around the ring and all that. He wouldn't give the guys he didn't have respect for an inch. That's pretty well known.
Matthew on Twitter says, would the Four Horsemen have worked?
That doesn't make him a bully. He was in control of his destiny.
Yeah, I get it. Matthew on Twitter wants to know, hashtag Ask Nate, would the Four Horsemen have worked back in the 80s? In the WWF, storyline-wise. Obviously.
Oh, hell yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We would have stole it. Are you kidding me?
Well, I'm curious why you think that, because it seems like a lot of your promos and stuff at the time wouldn't have been exactly the type of promos that they would have wanted on their kid-friendly product. But you still think you could have worked.
Oh, you're saying because of the fact that they were... well, you know what? You might be right. I'm thinking... I thought you were asking me if I thought that we would be a commodity.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The answer is we would be a commodity, but you're probably right. They wouldn't have let us say 18 to 28 at the Marriott, no boyfriends, no husbands. But looking back on what you like in this business, and no one is smarter than you, you're like the Dave Meltzer. You know, that was the stuff you loved, and I'm sure that you would love that much more than watching Honky Tonk walk out with the guitar for 6 seconds.
I'm not arguing that at all. Stink
Eye. You would have been right there, right in the middle of it all.
Oh, for sure.
We would have burned a hole in your credit cards.
Stink Eye on Twitter asks, who taught you the art of blading? I don't know that we've ever talked about that.
Art Nielsen.
I don't know that name. Can you catch everybody up about him?
He was an old timer. You can Google him. He just, it was Roanoke, Virginia. I'd just gotten there and they wanted me to do it that night. And he taught it. I hung around Art a lot. He was a rugged guy, tough, tough guy. I loved him a lot. We exercised together. He did free squats, crunches, the wheel, and all that stuff. And he taught me how to make it and put it on my finger. That was the first night.
Wow.
And I've taught 100 guys since.
So what, didn't you tell me once upon a time you were kind of superstitious about the type of blades you would use?
Yeah, I like the Johnson & Johnson. The Gillette, I have used Gillette, but I like the Johnson & Johnson.
I like it.
Just like if I don't have Johnson & Johnson tape, I'm superstitious too.
Dave on Twitter asks, hashtag Ask Nate, what was the best angle idea that never made it to TV? And what was the worst angle that did make it to TV that you were involved in or that you were booking?
The worst angle that made it to TV. God, I don't know. Just
give me a bad one off the top of your head. What comes to your mind?
Yeah. Well, when you say bad angle, I didn't like the Sid Vicious angle. I didn't like the Paul Romo angle with the horseman. If you think about it, that wasn't us, not even close. You think about Dean Malenko and Mongo Finn. I mean, Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, Arn. I mean, we all got along so well. Long comes Sid. I mean, just, you know, we pride ourselves on our in-ring ability. Romo failed miserably, as did Sid, you know, which is just, it's nothing personal. It is what it is. As far as angles that made it to TV that fell apart, we just talked about the other day. I think the worst thing I've ever seen was the one with, on Flair for the Gold with,
Shockmaster.
Yeah. I mean, that was just, I felt terrible. He's up there is really a nice guy, but that was the end, one and done. It was live, so there was no way to go back and fix that.
So I don't
see the problem with Ole. When Ole was booking, he thought he'd just put anybody in there as a horseman. Does that make sense? But I mean, what did you say when they revealed Romo that night?
I didn't expect that, to be sure.
Yeah.
But isn't the backstory to that? Blanchard was supposed to be there, and then at the last minute it fell apart, and you guys were just scrambling, and that was it? Or was there more thought put into it than that?
No, I don't know the backstory. I don't remember Tully not being there. Where was Tully at the time that he wouldn't have been there?
He had been to WWF and had kind of been out of wrestling on the mainstream with the major companies for a little bit, and I thought the story was he had a deal to come back, and then either a drug test threw that off, or no, there was the contract amount. He assumed it would be for a much greater amount. He was insulted with a lowball offer and decided not to come in. So instead, they just thought, well, hey, we've been teasing that this is the last horseman and we're going to reveal the last horseman. Let's just put it with Roma. Or that was what I was led to believe.
Well, it threw me up. I mean, I like to think I can remember almost everything. I do remember the reference to the drug test and the contract issue, but I don't ever remember being consulted or asked about Paul Romo coming in. And I liked Paul personally, but he wasn't in that deal. It just didn't fit.
So let me ask, you know, we've never really talked about it, I don't think. Are your two least deserving, least favorite horsemen, you know, and we're talking kayfabe, of course, Sid and Paul Roma?
Oh, yes, for sure.
What was your relationship? This is not an Ask Nate. This is a Conrad asking. Yeah, I don't know why I just referred to myself in third person there. Hey, what was your relationship like with Sid after the whole incident he had with Arn?
I never talked to him again.
Really?
Nope.
So even when you guys were in WCW at the end, it was a head nod and that was it. You just went your own way.
Well, it was an insult to Arn that they even brought him back. We were in Baltimore. They announced he was going to be there. It was an insult to Arn. You know, Arn's never talked to him. So, I mean, just the argument, I was in bed in England when the argument started, but Arn was sticking up for me because Sid was telling Arn and everybody in the bar that I was too old to be there. And Arn said, you know, fuck you. That's the whole story.
Where do you...
So when we got back to the States, you know, I told Bischoff, if you fire Arn, you fire me. I don't care about Vicious. But if I don't fire Arn, you're firing me. So Arn came back.
So there was talk that he was going to be fired for that incident.
Who, Arn?
Yeah.
They did fire him for about 2 days.
Oh, I didn't know.
I said, you fire him, you won't see me around. I got news for you. And then the irony of that was that they put me in the match. The match was supposed to be Vader and Sid, and they fired Sid, and I wrestled Vader. In, what was that, 93?
Yeah, at Starrcade. Yeah.
In Charlotte, yeah.
Yeah. One of your better matches, I hope, for us to actually sit down and review that one day.
Yeah, well, all my kids were there, my mom and dad, the ride in the limo with Gene Okerlund. It was really cool, the way they did it.
The way they built it up, I agree.
Huh? Yeah, it was very nice. And Gene, of course, is the ultimate pro. It was one of those deals, you know, Leon didn't want to drop the belt, so he had to test me. Harley was screaming at me, hit him back, so I had to start back, but you know, that's never a position you want to be in. But you know, I like Leon personally, but he tried to be a bully, you know, it didn't work, you know, and ultimately, trying to bully people, it doesn't work out for you. Look at the deal with Orndorff, that'll follow him around the rest of his life.
Here's a question that I've never heard before. This comes from JBL Cena Fan on Twitter. Hashtag Ask Nate. Scott Hall has said that he told Vince not to give you the WWF belt because you left WCW with theirs. Had you heard that story before?
No.
Has anybody ever even mentioned that, hey, this guy may be a liability if we put the belt on him since he left WCW? Or did everybody understand that was an extenuating circumstance?
I've never heard that, and everybody understood that. That was never a conversation. If you look back in history, all Herd had to do was write me a check.
Right.
Which I ultimately got from Bill Watts. He could have had the belt. He just, you know, was so arrogant. And ultimately, you know, look what happened to him 3 weeks after I was gone. Yeah, he's still flipping pizza somewhere. All I said to him, I said, hey, write me a check. I'll fly to Columbus. I'm in Charlotte. I'll drop the belt to Barry Windham, and we go. He said, fuck you. I'm sending Doug Dillinger over to pick up the belt. Well, Doug's a policeman in Charlotte, my friend. I said, good. Send him all you want. It's my belt. You got $40,000 in the bank in my name from the NWA title. I got this. You want it, pay for it, and we're all good. He gave me that same old thing, you know, tried to bully me. And I said, well, next time you see the belt, I called Vince and I said, FedEx, it'll be there. And the next thing you saw, 2 days later, Bobby Heenan had it on TV.
had you actually worked that out already? Like, in terms of, you know, you sent the belt before you really had a deal?
No. Yeah, I did. I had no deal worked out with him. I just called him and said, I got fired here. Are you still interested in me? He said, hell yeah. I said, good. Well, it's me and I got somebody with me. He said, who? I said, I got the belt.
Wow.
He said, overnight it to me. So you know him, right? He ran with it. The real world champion. But that's all. I mean, it's so strange. Because Ted Turner, let me tell you, was a great guy. But the people that he put in charge of running that wrestling company, Jack Petrick and Jim Herd, they didn't have a clue. I mean, and they were trying to screw me from day one. That's why Jimmy Crockett and I have never talked. They couldn't have sold the company without me. I mean, that was the deal. And Blair Schmidtfelder, you can Google him, was the guy that told me that. I said, what do you mean? I had to go walk in the door and start a whole, I didn't have a contract, it expired. And they couldn't have sold the company without me. So, you know, and Crockett never told me.
Charlie Ross.
That's the deal.
Charlie Ross.
I mean, I could have booked myself a $3 million deal. I mean, which, you know, I'm not, that's not the way it was, but no one to go. I didn't, you know, that's when my life started to become uncomfortable, because I'm a guy that I like to just go to work. I don't like conflicts. And when business became politics, that was the most political thing I'd ever been involved in my life. You know, and people trying to screw with you, you know, for their own personal gain. I didn't do that, you know. And I knew the guys were mad when I left, but, you know, at some point in time, you got to take care of yourself. And even when I went to see Vince, I told him what I made, and he didn't have guaranteed contracts then. And I said, he said, I'll make you more. And he got up and shook my hand, and I made $130,000 more than I made the year before with WCW. So he kept his word.
Was the schedule crazier with Vince at the time than it was?
Oh, it was great. Are you kidding? If people thought it was crazy. I mean, I'm traveling with, think about this now. I'm traveling with DiBiase, Kurt Hennig, the Road Warriors, the Nasty Boys, Undertaker, Davey Boy, Brett, Randy. look at the list of guys that were there. Barry Darso. I mean, we had the best time, man. I mean, I've always, we worked our ass off every day, gone 40 days at a time. But, you know, Terry Taylor, I mean, we just, we rocked it up, man. And working there was so easy because those guys were over. I mean, you know, and I got to work in a year long period. I worked with Bret Hart, Kurt Hennig, Randy Savage, who am I missing here? The Warrior a couple times.
Razor Ramon. I mean,
huh?
Razor Ramon.
I only worked with him one time.
Oh, that tag match, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, we were partners. Yeah, then I worked with him in a cage match when it fell apart. But, you know, it was easy. And we were – and I worked with Hulk, too. I mean, how tough – how easy was that, right? You know, I just had a ball. Oh, and Roddy Piper. Jeez, are you kidding? Who couldn't have a good time on that run? And the thing of it is, it was so much more professionally run than WCW at that time. I was glad to get away from it and get back into the position of being where people are professional and conduct themselves professionally. And Vince McMahon is a take-no-shit cowboy, man. If you worked hard for him, he took care of you. Simple as that.
James McDonald on Twitter. Why was Barry Windham inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame with the Four Horsemen instead of Ole or Lex Luger?
Real simple. Ole burnt a bridge with Vince McMahon years ago. They said terrible things personally about him. Just it's Ole's arrogance, which everybody's aware of. And I think the thing with, first, Barry was the ultimate guy in that position. And I think the misfortune of the stuff with Elizabeth and unhappy ending with those two in that relationship kind of eliminated Lex for a while from that position. But Barry Windham was Barry Windham is one of the top 10 or 12 workers in the business at that point in time. I think you'll agree.
Oh, absolutely. I think 86 and 87, Barry Windham, you can put up against almost anybody.
He was a 6'6", 250-pound steamboat.
Yep, which is really pretty good. Amazing when you think about it.
But yeah, it was. It was tremendous.
TLT on Twitter asks, who won the fight backstage at WCW, Roddy Piper or Kevin Nash? I heard them both say they won, but you were there.
There was never a fight. That's been going on for years. There was never a fight. Verbal. That was it.
Brian Parsons has a good question online.
It was in Boston, Massachusetts, and Piper and I wrestled Scott Hall and Kevin, and Roddy forgot a couple spots, you know how it is in the business, and they came in and cussed him out and all that, but there was never a fight.
Brian Parsons wants to know who arranged the travel, the flights, and the schedule back in the day. Of course, I think everybody knows WWE has a big travel department now, but what was protocol, you know, with Jim Crockett or when you were a touring NWA champion? How did that scheduling of the travel happen?
It all happened through, for me as a champion, through Jim Barnett.
Okay.
Who was the secretary treasurer of the NWA. Yeah, and then later on, I can't think of the travel girl's name, at WCW. God, I'm drawing a blank. I can see her, but I can't remember her name.
Jared on Twitter wants to know, what are your thoughts on the Great Muta, both personally and professionally?
Fantastic. Great guy personally, tremendous worker. I've always thought the world of him. When he loved me, because when he first came here, you know, those guys, when they've never been here, right? He came over here, and of course I had to, he was a handsome guy. It wasn't hard to get him in the places he wanted to be. But it was a friendship that he took on. It's kind of like Fujinami and Tenryu. I got those guys came over here, and you know, I treated those guys like I did the midgets. If you wanted me, I took them everywhere. I had so much fun with them, and it was so much respect. And Fujinami, to this day, and I are very close, and he was a great performer. Muta and I are very close, and he is great. And Tenryu, I think he has a little bit of a throat cancer issue, but Tenryu and I are very close to this day, too. So those guys don't forget. They remember the people that were nice to him, and you know, why wouldn't I be? What, you know, what else to do? It was a lot easier to get those guys fixed up with chicks than it was Cowboy Lang. Hey, Nature Boy, give me lead, give me lead, give me lead. His little legs were shaking on the front seat. For all of you that don't know Cowboy Lang, Google him. And on next week's version, I'll tell you a story about Cowboy Lang.
We lost Lord Littlebrook this week.
I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, he was 87 years old.
I knew the Lord very well. He was in St. Joe, Missouri, correct?
I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, I do know that.
He booked all the midgets. Great guy. He loved me.
Do you have any fun Lord Littlebrook stories?
No, I never partied with Littlebrook. I took care of Cowboy Lang and Little Tokyo. That was rough. And Cowboy Lang was the best. I would take him into bars, and he'd go in and in the bathroom and take off his clothes and come walking out. And, you know, he could tuck his penis in his cowboy boots, so it was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
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 So just having fun. I mean, just life was good back then. Obviously, things like that never take place now, but because social media is different. But those guys, they worked so hard. They worked as hard as we did and made no money. So I was actually glad I had the opportunity to spend some money on them and take them out and have fun with them. So that's all it was.
Deplorable Trash asks, was there anyone who could hang with Nate after dark? If so, who was his drinking and partying lady-loving rival? Piper, maybe?
No. He would get, I'm telling you, Roddy didn't. He was more concerned with having a good time. He was a scientist.
I understand.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. After hours drinking, and with women. Wow. Oh Christ, Barry Windham. Are you kidding me? How could I forget? We just had his name on the tip of my tongue. You kidding? Jesus. He was the all-time carrier. I said it at my Hall of Fame induction. I moved from living vicariously from him to Dave Bautista with Evolution.
Joseph Frost wants to know, if you could come back for one more match at WrestleMania, who would you like to go against?
Well, I would love for John Cena to win the title and them to give me 6 months to get ready, because I could wrestle again very easily, but I would need 6 months just for cosmetics and a couple months of really everyday training in the ring at the Performance Center. I would love that for it to happen. I don't think it ever will, but I could be in that kind of shape if I was, you know, got the heads up in the next month or so.
Don Siebert on Twitter asks, is there anyone in the business that you never had an opportunity to wrestle that you wish you would have?
No. I wrestled everybody, except for John in a single, and of course, the Shield, the new guys in that. So there's nobody I missed. I mean, I think that's what makes my career unique, is that I wrestled everybody. I mean, we're talking about Stan Hansen, Brody, and, you know, very few guys ever had that opportunity. I mean, Carlos Colon, I mean, you name it, I wrestled everybody. Jack Veneno, all the Japanese guys. You know, we talked about it with Animal last week. Just, I didn't miss anybody. But I think that's one of the things that's worked for me, and it makes me different than anybody else in the business.
WWE Front Row asks, who was the most fun to travel with on your most recent time with WWE?
You're talking about in his last run with Charlotte?
Yeah, you've had an opportunity to hang out with a lot of the boys on the roster now.
Oh, the Usos and Roman. For sure. The Usos, Dean Ambrose, and Roman.
Good deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. Yep. I was going to, I don't want to tell the story because it'll get somebody in trouble, but yeah, those guys are great guys.
Antonio.
And I'm not talking about anything to do with women. We're just talking about drinking.
Hanging out.
And hanging out after a long day, yeah.
Antonio on Twitter asks, did Rick ever give any input on the Ashley Schaefer character on Eastbound and Down? That's the Will Ferrell character.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I got invited to a taping. They shot it in Shelby where my son David lives, and they invited me out there. I know Will Ferrell's a big fan and a really nice guy, but they never consulted me. But it was flattering to see him take my gimmick and have fun with it. So, yeah, it was very cool. But no, I never had anything to do with. I never consulted at all.
John on Twitter wants to know: does Nate still have a soft spot for the state of Minnesota? I don't think a lot of people even realize that that's where you grew up. I think everybody associates you with Charlotte.
As a matter of fact, Raw is there. One of my close friends, as I told you, Conrad, died about 2 months ago, and I was unable to go to the funeral because I had to go to Chicago for, I can't remember, you were there with Kansas for Ashley's match.
Yeah. It was a payback pay-per-view.
Yeah, and so I wasn't able to make the funeral, but I'm trying to go back to October 23rd on a Friday because they're going to have another memorial service for him. But yes, I love Minneapolis. I've got so many great memories of my childhood there. I mean, Gene Oakland's from there. You know, I still talk to Greg Gagne and Brunzel. And, you know, I grew up there and had a great time. It's a phenomenal city. It's cold, but they have the downtown pretty much totally in glass in the winter. So you just walk on walkthroughs, on walkways. But in the summer, it's absolutely beautiful. And I love Minnesota, but I wouldn't leave Atlanta or North Carolina to go back for the 5 months the 7 months of hell. It's cold. I got off a plane one time. I'd been in San Juan, and I was going home to my parents' house for Christmas. I got off the plane, and it was 75 below wind chill.
Oh, my gosh.
75 below wind chill. Well, I mean, the temperature was like 30 below, right, which is not uncommon. But the wind, it was so cold, it was 75 below. Yeah, it was really cold.
What should the championship match be for the women at WrestleMania 33? So if you had the fantasy book, you had the armchair book right now, WrestleMania 33, what should the women be doing?
Well, I don't know, because I can't... as far as Charlotte is programmed right now, she's wrestling Sasha next, which will be the best of three. And I don't know what she's going to be doing after that. You want to say that would be the magic book, and you would think would be the WWE Raw brand champion versus the SmackDown brand champion. But then you get back in that position, and one of them's got two belts, and that doesn't help the brand from the other one. So they're probably just two championship matches. I don't know. But they've earned so much respect and they're so highly thought of that I'm sure they'll have a good position on the card. I mean, after the performance last year at WrestleMania with Sasha, Becky, and Charlotte, it's going to be hard not to put them, position them correctly. Because I thought they stole the show last year.
No, I agree. It was a great match. Two more questions, and then we'll wrap up this edition of Ask an H. Nunya on Twitter asks, what teams are going to the Super Bowl this year? Anybody who listens to this show knows that you are 24/7 watching ESPN, so you probably
Seattle and the Patriots.
Okay. So there it is. I can't argue with that.
Looks tough, and the Patriots, I mean, I was in shock that they beat the Cardinals last week. Did you think that would happen? I figured that if they started out, and tomorrow the Patriots play, they've got a pretty good game, but it's not as tough as the Cardinals. Well, they play Miami Sunday, so, you know, the kid played well. Belichick is undoubtedly the greatest coach in history. I mean, he's right there with Bill Parcells and all those guys. He just has done a phenomenal job. I mean, you know, I'll tell you what. If it's not the Patriots, I think the Steelers look pretty tough. Antonio Brown is just playing phenomenal. It's just unreal.
Yeah, that should be his best year.
I love Ben. I'm good friends with Ben. A lot of respect for him. I don't see it. I don't see them. I don't. It's either going to be Pittsburgh or New England. That's my take.
All right, last one. We get a lot of questions about this guy. Rob on Twitter. Best Arn Anderson story you can share. Obviously, we don't want to get anybody in trouble. So, best Arn Anderson story you can share.
The best Arn Anderson story I can tell, there are so many. I just think it's important that people understand that he was a great worker, a great talker, and I mean great in both categories. And he had a sense of humor second to none. And he kept everybody laughing through the hard times. I mean, the greatest stories for me, we'd be on that Falcon 10 flying across the country, and Luger and he would get into a joust, and, you know, Luger would say, "You're a human Super Bowl," and Arn would say, "I've told the story times, you're an orthodontist dream. If I could have those front teeth, I could. If I had those front teeth of yours, I could make him into pearl handle revolvers." It was brutal. I mean, just unreal. And then he would imitate Lex. You know, every time Lex would go punch, he'd give himself the honk honk. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, it was funny as shit. But he's a great guy. I mean, there's so many. People always want to think that we did something bad every night. He just laughed and had fun and drank. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
No drugs, not.
Drinking, surviving. I mean, I know one night we were all drinking and Arn had to catch a flight to Honolulu. And this is, and so he had Dave, the limo driver, come up and sleep in his room to make sure he didn't leave.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was the trip where we'd had Dave for 4 days, and Arn was going to Honolulu with Aaron. And we got word on Wednesday that Dave died. Running with us for 4 days was not easy. Oh, man.
I can't imagine. Well, speaking of surviving, you survived another episode of Hashtag Ask Nate. We answer usually one of these questions every week. This week we did a whole show dedicated to it.